An ABC Circle film. A man leaves an office building and hails a cab. When the cab stops, he climbs in.
59th and 3rd.
What?
59th and 3rd.
The cabbie sits in front of a protective barrier.
Still haven't gotten used to the sticks.
The cabbie doesn't hear.
I still haven't gotten used to these things.
Right.
If you heard about this foreign country where the cab drivers needed bulletproof glass, what would you say? You wouldn't believe it.
Should I take the park or go around?
What?
I usually take the park.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Which do you want?
Not only can't I shoot you, I can't hear you.
Do you want me to take the park?
What?
What?
I'm taking the park.
They drive off.
Why are you taking the park?
Thursday's game. Starring Gene Wilder. The man who took the cab peeks apprehensively out of an elevator, then steps out and crosses to an office directory. Bob Newhart, Ellen Burstyn, and Cloris Leachman. The man walks along a hallway, searching for the right office. Martha Scott, Nancy Walker, Valerie Harper, Rob Reiner, and Norman Fell. The man stops outside the office of Calder & Associates, an executive placement firm. Music by Billy Goldenberg. Lyrics to the song by Dory Previn, sung by Mike Settle. Written and produced by James L. Brooks. Directed by Robert Moore. The man opens the office door and sees a waiting room full of middle-aged businessmen. The man enters and steps toward a receptionist.
Hello, I have an appointment. My name is...
He scribbles on a piece of paper.
Everett. Oh, yes, Mr. Everett. I'm sorry. I thought it said Mr. Evers. Mr. Evers, isn't that what it said?
Evers is embarrassed.
Oh, good. For a second there, I thought it said Mr. Evans instead of Mr. Evers.
Mortified, Evers steps clumsily over a coffee table and takes a seat. He and another man reach for the same magazine.
Excuse me, Mr. Evers.
He hands Evers the magazine. When another man enters the room, Evers recognizes him and hides behind the magazine.
Harry!
Harry Evers smiles weakly at the newcomer.
How are you? What are you doing here, Marvin?
I thought we'd grab a bite together before the game tonight.
How did you know I was here?
Well, your secretary told me.
My secretary told you I was here?
I didn't know you got the axe.
Harry laughs self-consciously.
Didn't get the axe.
Well, then,
We're expanding, and I'm looking for some new executives.
Mr. Evers?
A man hands Harry a resume.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe these people could help me.
You need a job?
No, I need a top guy to work for.
Several men look up.
Who work cheap.
To do what?
Well, to run my business for me, before I kill it.
What are you talking about?
Everybody thinks there's a fortune in the garment business, but if I don't come up with a big style soon, I'm bankrupt.
Well, Mr. Evers, you can go in.
Harry opens the door to the counselor's office, where a woman is crying.
Come in.
Harry enters and sits down.
Boy, I've got to get another job. I mean, the stories you hear, like that fella that just left. He's got six kids. He's worked 32 years with the same company. No savings, and he's out. Just out. And then what always gets you is when they say, I don't have to make as much money.
She reaches for a tissue.
What's the matter with me? Lately, I'm going through two boxes a week.
Listen, maybe it would be better for you if I came back at another time.
No. It's all right. Now, may I see your resume?
Sure.
He passes it to her.
How long have you been out of work?
Well, I'm not actually out of work. It's just that I produced this daytime television program.
Oh, which one?
Let's chance it.
Nodding, she smiles politely.
Anyway, the ratings have been slipping, and I don't think that they're going to cancel it. I mean, I don't think that they'd really fire me, but I thought maybe if there were some better opportunities.
Well, I don't think you're going to have any problem at all.
Do you mean that?
Well, with this background, I can practically guarantee you the salary you want, and you could almost pick the part of the country you want to settle in.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I can't tell you how that makes me feel. I was so worried. The ratings, everything my wife said, you don't have anything to worry about, and she was right.
I'll just write some letters to the companies we deal with, and you can come in next week and sift through the offers.
Can't tell you how that makes me feel. I feel so relieved. Relieved, that isn't the right word. I feel terrific.
Me too.
Thanks. Thanks.
Harry heads for the door.
I'll get in touch with you next week at the latest, Mr. Wood.
My name isn't Wood.
That's what it says on the resume.
A man out there handed me a resume. That must have been Mr. Wood.
The woman frowns.
Okay, let's see your resume.
Soon.
A year and a quarter of college?
Look, you want to talk to Wood?
Shh, shh. You put down here that you were once an usher.
A page boy. Not an usher, a page boy.
I'm sorry. What's the difference?
Well, there isn't any.
All right, and you produce this TV show, Let's Chance It, for 5 years, and before that you assisted somebody who did it. And now you're willing to relocate and change fields, work for less money. Harry, right now you have a good job. Believe me, you have a good job.
What if I lose it?
If you lose it, it is no longer a good job. Harry, I want you to come and see me next week.
What? What's the use?
He throws away a file folder.
Please. Come on, come back next week, huh? Come back, will you?
Well, if you want me to.
Where are you going now?
I don't know. Get something to eat, go to my poker game.
You know, your wife is still right. There's nothing to worry about.
She usually is.
Second marriage.
No, first. My marriage is the only thing I've got working for me.
Well, Harry, about the poker game. You don't play for a lot of money, do you?
No.
Good.
Smiling, Harry leaves the office. That night, at the poker game...
You know, it's just no fun, the way we've been playing.
Why not raise the stakes a little at a time? That way we can see how it's all going to turn out.
Six men sit at a table.
The point is, we haven't been playing poker.
Somebody tell me what we've been doing every Thursday night for 4 years?
Playing cards, not poker. Look, when you can't bet enough to force anybody out, it's just not poker.
It's a friendly game. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
Oh.
I mean, what are you going to lose? A couple of $100.
Harry coughs.
Well, let's try it. Unless, Harry, you don't want to play for that much.
No, it's fine with me.
Let's play cards. Tonight, it's poker.
$900.
Later.
Yeah, it all adds up. Okay, here it is. Dave, you're down $710.
Well, you wanted to raise the stakes.
I'm down $380.
Do you know, with the old stakes, that would have been a record loss.
Tonight is like being a winner. Mike, you, $950.
$950. You guys had quite a night. Quite a night.
Harry and Marvin have won all the chips.
I guess we were pretty lucky. We just had a hot corner, I guess. Bob. You owe $1,675.
$600. How much, what was that?
Bob, it's $1,675. $1,600.
Bob's the one who complained that they weren't playing poker.
I have to work a long time for that kind of money.
$380. That's mine. Harry, you won $2,450. Marvin, you won $1,265. Split it up.
This is really very embarrassing to win this much money. I don't know what to say. I feel terrible taking it. Dick, do you have any ice water?
In the refrigerator.
Winning this much.
Harry walks to the kitchen.
It's terrible. That's what's so rotten about the stakes. I mean, the winners feel rotten. The losers feel even worse. It's just terrible.
Marvin steps toward the kitchen. Once inside, he shuts the door. Marvin grins happily at Harry. Both double over, barely able to keep from laughing out loud. Harry jumps up and down gleefully, then cavorts around the kitchen with Marvin. Restraining themselves, the two move toward the door. Frowning solemnly, the two emerge from the kitchen.
It's terrible. Just terrible. I promised my wife I wouldn't be too late tonight.
Oh, I'll go across town with you.
I have to leave now.
Oh. Oh, Dick. Mm-hmm. You paid, didn't you? This is yours in the middle, isn't it?
That's mine.
Oh.
You guys gonna pay, or you want our seconds to contact you in the morning?
The other players stare at Marvin resentfully.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't joke about it. It is a lot of money to lose.
Oh, Bob, wait, you owe $1,675.
I'm not gonna pay.
You agreed to the stakes.
Agreed to it. It was his idea.
You're a little shorter.
Short? No. I've got the money. I just refuse to pay. Bob, you can't do that. I mean, you can't just do that.
Well, I know one thing.
Mike stands.
If he can do it, so can I.
Marvin is astounded.
You'll never play in this game again, ever.
What game? Are you guys going to play three-handed or something?
No. Now, wait a minute, everybody. Wait a minute.
There's no more game. Come on, Harry. What are you going to do about it?
Bob, I think I'm going to hit you.
Bob shakes his head.
No?
We're not tough guys. We're not kids. We're all just businessmen. And businessmen don't go around hitting each other. So let's try to act simple.
Harry hits Bob.
Hey, this is my house. I don't want anything broken.
Bye.
Bob, wait. Hmm? I think I'm going to hit you again.
Bob kicks Harry's shin.
Ow!
Bob, you're a dirty fighter. Why don't you fight fair?
Mike slaps the back of Marvin's head.
What are you hit me for?
Bluffing me.
Dick lunges at Bob.
Then
grabs Harry.
I want you out of my house.
Dick opens the door, then slams it on Bob's hand. Marvin shoves Mike over a coffee table.
Okay, Marvin, I warned you.
Harry grips Dick's arm.
I don't want to fight you, Dick. I mean, you played ball in college and I didn't, and you work out and I don't.
The coffee table is okay.
Let go.
Yeah, let go.
You better let go.
Oh, my God, I feel my tooth is loose.
Let go.
No. I was chicken out when I was a kid. I'm not going to chicken out now.
I'm not afraid of you. I'm not going to let go.
What are you talking about?
You got to let go of him sooner or later anyway. What, are you going to go through life like that?
Okay, mister. I'm going to tell you again. This is Mr. Business. You're not Jimmy Cagney.
Dick pulls away, then punches Harry. Oh. Harry hits Dick, then looks at Marvin.
I'm winning. How do you like that? I'm winning.
Dick punches Harry again.
I'm losing. Marvin, I'm losing.
Marvin leaps onto the coffee table and shoves Dick, then Dave. The men scramble around the room, attacking each other. They bat at each other with throw cushions.
Get up that money! I want to get it! What am I doing? What am I doing?
Later, Marvin and Harry drink at a bar.
That was really something back there.
Harry grins ruefully.
How long has it been since you've been in a fight?
Never.
Never? How about when you were a kid?
Nobody was ever mad at me.
Does it look like I've been in a fight?
No. You know, it's gonna seem funny not having the game anymore.
I know. Maybe we can get up another poker game.
We've had two seats open in this one for 6 months, and we couldn't fill it up. I mean, not too many guys can get away one night a week.
Incredible, isn't it?
I mean, I need my one night out. I know that. I'm going to keep it. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell my wife that the poker game never broke up. How about we get together next Thursday anyway?
I don't know. What will we do?
Anything we want.
Harry is intrigued by the idea. Later, in darkness, Harry tiptoes into his bedroom. He crosses the room, then opens a closet door.
Are you awake?
Yes, Harry, I'm awake.
Did I wake you?
No, I was thinking.
When Harry clicks on the closet light, his wife turns on a bedside lamp. She sits on the bed, fully clothed.
Are you at all interested in what I was thinking about?
You've been thinking about us.
You really think that's all I have to think about, don't you?
He flicks off the closet light.
Honey, what were you thinking about?
Then slips into bed.
Well, I've been thinking that when we go to visit David at camp, I really don't want to bring my mother.
He considers her words.
Well, just tell her then.
No.
Or say that we're not going to visit him.
Oh, she won't believe that. I mean, she's not going to believe we only saw him once all summer. And if she did believe it, then I'd have even more trouble with her. Well, she's really driving me crazy lately.
She looks at Harry, but he's dozing.
Forget it. It's my problem.
She turns her back on him.
No, no. Let's talk about it.
Why, when it's the last thing in the world you want to talk about?
No, it isn't. As I was coming in just now and noticing that it was 3 a.m., I said to myself, golly, I hope Lynn's awake so we can discuss her mother.
I said it was my problem.
Next day, Harry supervises his TV show.
Oh, I don't care for it. I mean, I don't want to be any engineer or anything. I just want to be a good wife and mother.
He looks at a contestant on a TV monitor.
Yes, will you risk the vacation for this new car?
I don't think she's going to be any good.
Your subject will be the flick.
A co-worker watches Harry bow his head.
I'll go for it, but you better duck if I lose.
Harry brightens.
She's pretty good.
All right. 15 seconds. You are looking to the eyes tighter on him, Jerry. Of an all-time favorite character actor.
The ratings didn't come in yet, did they?
Oh, yes. They're on your desk.
Harry walks across the studio.
Any ideas yet?
He enters his office and closes the door. He steps toward his desk and picks up the TV ratings booklet. Looking to the heavens, Harry kisses the booklet and opens it. Dejected, he slumps forward. Later.
2.8. That's not good, is it?
It is if the show against you is 2.7.
And what is?
18.
The employment counselor keeps reading.
Hey, this is pretty good.
What's pretty good?
Well, they were rotten last month, too. And they didn't take any action against you then, so maybe they're not going to.
Harry smiles grimly.
Well, it's nice to see you feeling better. Look, you're going to have to get some new resumes made up. Cut out the page boy stuff and name the college without saying how long you went there.
Okay. I think
Something's going to happen with my job?
They stand.
Well, no, it's just that if something better comes along, you want to be ready, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I gotta go. Thanks.
She pats his hand.
Well, where are you going? Another poker game?
No, that broke up last week. I promised to meet this guy I know for dinner.
Don't drink too much.
No, just dinner.
Good. Come and talk whenever you want to.
Thanks.
Harry leaves. Later, at a restaurant, Marvin enters and looks around for Harry. Marvin's pants have a brightly decorated zipper on the fly. As others see this, Harry looks on, mortified with embarrassment. Marvin saunters toward Harry's table.
How you doing?
Fine, good.
As Marvin sits down, the waiter brings Harry a drink.
I'll drink whatever it is.
The waiter leaves.
It's funny, this is the first time we've ever gotten together outside the poker game.
I guess so.
Harry is still embarrassed.
Did you notice how everybody looked at me when I came in?
Yes, I did.
Marvin reaches into a pocket and pulls out more flashy zippers.
My design. I think it's the right next step, you know? I mean, why is there always a cloth covered over a man's zipper? Everybody knows there's a zipper there, and they know why.
It's just a very uptight, puritanical, old-fashioned thing. I mean, wouldn't you rather wear this?
I'm sorry, Marvin, but I don't think so.
Later, a waiter approaches their table.
That's why you don't ever talk about that. Can I talk?
Can I just get one thing in? I've been trying to get in.
Excuse me. The kitchen's going to close soon, and I thought perhaps you'd like to order.
See, I'm not, I'm really hungry, I don't know.
You better not get loaded. They know we don't drink when we play poker.
A couple of steaks.
Do you mind if I order for myself?
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you want?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell the waiter.
What are you making problems? I mean, this is a steakhouse, you know.
Harry looks at the waiter.
I think I'll have a steak.
Marvin is irritated.
What's wrong with your job? When you came in here, you were very happy about that new thing that you designed.
Yeah, but that's the best idea I've ever had. If I were in some other field and I came up with the most brilliant idea of my life, it'd be something more important than zippers.
You're crazy. What you do is very important.
Wow.
Well, the whole country is on a style binge,
especially in men's clothes.
It's not like it used to be, you know that. Today, clothes have to say something. And with those zippers, you've given people something new to say. That's significant.
You know, you're a hell of a guy, Harry.
Harry shrugs as the waiter brings their food. Later, the two walk along a busy street.
Are we going to play poker next week?
I guess so.
What do you want to do?
I don't know.
But we're definitely getting together.
I told you, yes.
In the morning, Harry inflates rubber shorts in the bathroom.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm blowing up my shorts.
I have to get in there.
Come in then.
Lynn enters and stares curiously at Harry.
You're trying to make me feel ridiculous.
Harry waddles out of the bathroom wearing his puffed-up shorts and takes a sip of coffee. When Lynn stares at the shorts, he walks away, offended. Later, they drive along a country road.
Isn't it beautiful up here?
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
The rating slipped again.
How much?
0.2. You're not going to say anything? You can't say one thing to help me out? Can't you even act as if you care?
But I don't care about the ratings. I care about anything that makes you feel bad, because I really want you to be happy all the time. And when you're not, I always feel like it's my fault, and then that makes me a little crazy.
Why can't I ever say things like that? I'm not crazy about this camp, you know.
Any reason?
Well, that name, for one thing.
They arrive at Camp Communication.
For a very good reason, Mr. Evers. We felt it would be almost inhuman to teach children Indian crafts in a country where the red man is forced to live in such poverty.
Harry stares incredulously at the camp director.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I wonder, could we see David now?
David's counselor will be along in just a moment.
Thank you.
The director walks a few steps, then hesitates.
Mr. Evers, I feel that you have a great many prejudices against us. And I feel very frustrated that I can't seem to make contact with you.
Harry ponders this as the man walks away.
It sure is different from the camp you went to last year.
Lynn gives Harry a dirty look. When she walks away, he follows. They walk toward a group of campers.
Mr. and Mrs. Everett.
A young man approaches.
I'm Tom, David's counselor.
Hi! Hi!
How are you?
Tom reflects.
I feel somewhat nervous at having to meet David's parents. I feel aware of wanting to make an impression on you, partly because of ego, partly because I want a good tip.
Harry looks at him, astonished.
And how are you?
Fine! Fine!
I'll go get David.
When Harry turns to Lynn, she avoids his eyes. Tom returns with David by his side. The boy steps toward his parents and regards them shyly.
What's wrong?
Well, it's just there's something I wanted to tell you when I saw you, and it's sort of tough. I feel real nervous and embarrassed.
He turns to Tom, who nods reassuringly.
Okay. What I wanted to say was, I love you two guys a whole lot.
Harry is apprehensive, but Lynn smiles and hugs her son.
David, I just want you to know that was a really terrific thing to hear you say.
As Lynn walks off with David, Harry pulls out his wallet and hands Tom some money.
We encourage them to get in touch with their feelings about their parents. The hard part is expressing it.
I'm never sure about tipping. Is that good, what I just gave you?
Sort of average.
That's what I wanted.
Harry walks away. Later, in David's bunkhouse.
David, you remember that camp that you went to last summer? Do you ever miss canoeing, stuff like that?
Sometimes.
I'm very glad to hear that.
On the way home.
Well, we're doing something right, thank God.
Incredible, isn't it? You were obviously tremendous parents.
Can I ask you a question about you and me?
Sure.
Are we in trouble?
He shoots her a puzzled look.
No, no.
I mean, if we're in trouble, I'd really like to know about it.
We're not in trouble.
Unconvinced, she looks away unhappily. Later, Harry runs to catch an elevator in their apartment building, but misses it. Lynn joins him, still unhappy.
What's wrong?
She shrugs.
Sad.
Don't be sad.
Okay, I won't be sad. Boy, that's your whole trouble.
What's my whole trouble?
Forget it.
I want to know what my whole trouble is.
He wraps his arms around her.
What is my whole trouble?
You don't want a wife. You just want somebody to play with.
How can you say that? What person in his right mind would want a sexy playmate when they could have a wife?
She smiles, then hugs him. The elevator arrives.
Everybody knows by now that there's a movement for the liberation of women afoot in the world,
Upstairs, in bed, Harry eats a huge sundae as Lynn kisses him.
Here she is, a terrific lady, a former female eunuch, Jermaine Greer.
Would you consider it unromantic if I finish this sundae?
Slight tongue-in-cheek that women...
You're just doing it because you know it turns me off.
Their undergarments.
Preoccupied, Harry stares at the TV.
I have a terrific
they
idea.
They should abandon their undergarments. I saw
that. Why don't we both read chapter 8 of that book you keep buying copies of? And then tomorrow night we could stay home?
And I couldn't think why I was.
What do you think?
I mean,
chapter 8?
There wasn't really any reason.
Well, and tomorrow.
It was a hot day.
Why?
Tomorrow's my poker night.
The next evening, Harry leans against a storefront waiting for Marvin, who pushes through a crowded sidewalk toward him.
This is what you call happy. You mean this is what you call high. Yesterday, I was up. Today,
the two walk along a city street and stop at a hot dog stand. Later, in a theater, Marvin listens as Harry talks. A woman shushes him.
Now, how come I'm halfway through? This is what life is all about. I mean, when does the dream...
Over the ensuing weeks, the friends spend their Thursday evenings together, sharing laughs and good times.
The grinding, the never finding a permanent place to park. You're the person you know so well, you can show how scared you are.
Harry and Marvin approach a porno theater.
You mean
I, the Marquis, speculatively.
You mean this is what you
then walk
call
on.
Free? Well, if this is what you call laughing and crying and living and dying, then this is what I call.
As the two sit side by side in steam cabinets, Harry chatters to Marvin, who has fallen asleep. Later, a sign outside Harry's TV studio announces, "Let's chance it."
Back to the second half of our show with our host, Bruce Lockhart.
Inside, Harry watches the show morosely. In his office, Harry reaches hesitantly for the latest ratings booklet.
Mount Rushmore?
He strokes the booklet.
Nice.
Then opens it.
Thank you so much.
Turning the pages, he looks for the right figures.
I tell all my neighbors. And since I've used land,
depressed, he pounds his desk.
I won't insult you with euphemisms, Harry.
In another office.
You're fired.
Harry coolly ponders these words. He crosses his legs nonchalantly and swivels in his chair. Sitting behind his desk, the man opens a drawer and eyes Harry warily. Unconcerned, Harry meets his gaze.
I don't think you have the authority to fire me, Mel.
Oh, I do, Harry. I most certainly do.
I always thought you did.
You were right.
And they said you head up the creative end, then Mel will take care of the business side. I said, but we're both on the same level, aren't we? And they said yes.
That's not exactly true. I've always been on a higher level.
Say it, Mel. You're my boss.
I'm not your boss.
Oh, no, please. You said no euphemism. Just say it. You're my boss.
I was your boss. But since I just fired you, I am not your boss anymore.
Then there's nothing more you can do to me.
Mel nods in agreement. Harry sweeps knickknacks off Mel's desk, then dumps some books on the floor.
Harry!
He grabs Mel's coffee table and flips it over.
Mary, for heaven's sakes!
He knocks ornaments off a shelf.
You can't break anything in here!
Seeing Mel's glass shelving unit, he grabs a heavy ornament.
Harry?
Then lobs it across the room.
But we haven't even talked about severance pay.
Later.
I'm sorry, Miss Bender isn't in today.
Oh.
Harry winces.
Oh. She's not in.
Any message?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Just tell her I dropped by to say hi.
Harry walks out of the employment agency office. At another office building...
There's nothing I can do about it. We're a little behind. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to catch up. Well, I can cancel the order. I'll return your deposit.
Harry stands at Marvin's office door.
Whatever you want is fine. But I can't promise when I'll be able to get the order there.
You stinking rat.
Harry, what are you doing here?
You kept all this to yourself, didn't you?
All what?
The fact that you now have five whole floors. Five whole floors.
Well, we got a little busy.
Marvin, tell the truth. You're rich, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
That's why you've been acting funny lately. How'd you do it?
Those zippers?
The zippers made you rich. Zippers!
You were the one who told me how important they were.
I lied! Zippers aren't important. There's no way that zippers could possibly be important.
Harry, I have work to do.
Not only did you get rich, but you were sneaky about it.
Will you please tell me why you're being so...
So what? So vicious? Why am I so vicious? I got fired today. Is that a good enough reason for you?
Harry, let's get out of here.
Zippers.
The two men leave the office. In a bar.
Not only don't I know if I can get another job, I don't know what kind of a job to apply for. Just what is it I do?
If you just stop feeling sorry for yourself.
I've just started.
He drains a drink. Later, at night, the two friends walk through a park. Harry pulls out a Mickey, pours himself a shot, then downs it.
Harry, don't you think you're going overboard? I mean, the fact that you want to buy a bottle instead of stay in that bar, then you insist on buying a pint instead of a fifth. I mean, maybe you're trying too hard. You can't hit rock bottom in one night, you know. You have to work at it.
Ha ha ha. That's probably the kind of joke you rich people tell when you get together at your secret rich people's places.
They keep walking.
You'd be rich to most people.
I'd be unemployed. For everybody.
He drinks another shot.
Harry, I'll give you a job. That's arrogant, Marvin. As a matter of fact, that's kind of tacky.
It's tacky of me to offer you a job? That takes a sort of complicated logic, doesn't it? I mean, you're going to have to explain that to me. I may be a little thick.
It's tacky because it's a sneaky way of getting it in that you have a job and I don't.
But if I didn't have a job, a business, then I couldn't offer you a job.
You're not serious. Anyway, you'd probably pass out if I ever took it.
When have I ever conned you, Harry? When? Harry, I want you to work for me. Now, if you don't believe me...
I believe you. I believe you, you dirty egomaniac. I believe you get some sort of perverted kick out of being my boss.
Harry throws the Mickey away. In the light of dawn, the two men hop a fence that surrounds a petting zoo.
Marvin?
Yeah.
When I got fired today, I didn't know whether to go off by myself or go home to my wife.
go and see you.
I'm glad I went to see you.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that.
Did you ever have any pets when you were a kid?
French poodle. Can you imagine giving a boy a French poodle? I called him Spike, but even that didn't help.
Can we be honest for a minute?
Absolutely.
Are you drunk?
No.
Neither am I. You realize what that means?
Harry looks at the animals in the zoo.
It means we're doing all of this sober. Which gives you some idea how big my problems are.
Well, I got problems too, you know.
Harry ignores him.
Are you interested at all in my problems? We spent the whole night on yours, you know.
Well, mine's pretty big.
Well, so's mine.
Marvin walks off toward a pond and startles some pigeons. Harry joins him.
All right, what is it?
I want to leave my wife.
Harry walks away.
Thanks a lot for the interest, Harry.
Oh, well, you must have told me that 10, 20 times before.
Okay, you want to hear something I've never told you before? My wife is 8 years older than I am. Now, I mean, when I was 26 and she was 34, it was exciting. But now it's just 8 years older.
I never knew that. I never knew she was older than you.
Most people don't. They just figure she looks bad for her age. It's her only vanity.
Looking bad for her age is her only vanity?
I'm pouring my heart out to you, Harry.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I mean, if she were my age, or even a few years younger, it wouldn't be so hard to leave. But she's this middle-aged lady. You know, I have never said that out loud before, that my wife is this middle-aged lady. How do you leave a woman who makes you feel that guilty?
That's not her doing it.
Just thinking.
Guilt stuff is in you.
Do you know what she said to me this morning before I went to work? She said, if you ever leave, I'll kill myself. And this was just a normal breakfast. We had just finished our juice. She was even in a good mood.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. You know, the best night of the week is the night of the poker game that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
You know what I want? The chance to have nothing to worry about but me.
Yeah, but be careful. I'm not sure loneliness is all it's cracked up to be.
Marvin peers at the morning sky.
Hey, it's late.
The two walk off. Soon, outside the zoo.
You want to grab a bite before you go home?
Nah, I'd better get right at home and see you then.
Tell her you've been fired.
I'm not going to tell her. If she doesn't find out, she won't have to worry.
Well, she'll have to find out.
No, she won't. I have 6 weeks severance. I'll just pretend I'm going to work every morning. Maybe by the time the money runs out, I'll have something else.
That's very nice of you, Harry.
Well, why make her worry?
At the apartment, Lynn sleeps on the couch as Harry unlocks the door. When he enters, she awakens.
Couldn't you have called?
Harry switches off a lamp.
Couldn't you at least have been that considerate? Huh? How would you feel if I did that to you?
I got fired.
She goes to his side and hugs him consolingly. Later, Mrs. Bender weeps in her office.
Why didn't you let me know right away?
Well, you take everything so hard.
I'm getting worse. Oh, Lord, I hate this job.
It's okay. I'll find something.
All right, forget about me. Let's get down to business. I want you to have some new resumes made, and this time say you finished college.
How come?
Oh, please don't argue. Just do it.
Okay.
Harry, it's none of my business, but I still think I ought to warn you. Being out of work is going to put an enormous strain on all your relationships.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think some of that stuff has started happening already. My wife is getting a little...
Shh. Please, Harry. I know we've been very open with each other, but I'm just your employment counselor. And I don't know if we ought to be talking about your wife. What'd she do?
Well, she's starting to talk crazy. She's got this idea in her head. It doesn't matter if I have a job or not. We'll get a trailer and travel around the country.
And that's crazy?
We've never even pulled off a decent picnic. She says she has problems, too. I know her problems. Her problem is her husband doesn't have a job.
Harry, the thing to do is for you to be totally open with her. I mean, if you're angry with her, tell her. If you're afraid, tell her. I mean, you just can't sit on all this.
You're right. You're right. I should have come to you earlier. It does something for me. I wish Lynn had someone like you to talk to.
She pats his hand. Meanwhile, Lynn pours a cup of coffee for her mother.
Where's Harry today? Oh, he had to go see his agent. You want something with it, Mom? Just some of these cookies I brought you. Oh, never mind. I'll just eat them out of the box.
All right, but make sure you leave some for David. He made such a big fuss out of going to his favorite bakery for his...
Well, I'll only take a few. You don't have to tell me how David loves these cookies.
Lynn gets milk from the fridge.
I didn't buy them for me to have with my coffee.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Lynn closes the fridge door.
Things must be very tough for you.
No, actually, they're not. As a matter of fact, last night, Harry was so wonderful to be with. Do you know that he said that he was worried about money? He has never actually come out and said that straight out before. But me, there's something wrong with me.
She opens the oven.
You know, it's like I just couldn't stand it that things were good. You know what I said to him? I said, well, if you're worried about money, why do you play poker every week? It's like there's a devil in charge of wives someplace that would make me ask a question like that.
Does he win?
Well, he breaks even almost every week. But what if he should lose? I mean, how could he take that chance? Of course, I'm glad that he's got something that he gets enjoyment out of, you know, when times are like this. And I'm glad he plays.
Annoyed, she puts down her coffee cup.
There, you see? That's what I do now. I argue both sides of almost every question. I mean, I can't get a solid hold on anything, you know? I mean, that's why I'm running on like this, Mom. I really need someone to talk to.
Now, Lynn, listen to me. I just can't take money from you and Harry while he's out of work. I just can't.
Mom, we haven't sent you any money for 5 weeks.
I know that. I'm not an idiot. When I open up my mailbox and there's not a check, what I'm trying to tell you is that it's okay.
Thanks.
Later, at Mrs. Bender's office, Harry opens the door.
Harry!
Can't see you today.
Harry opens and closes the door playfully.
Harry, stop playing games. Come in and tell me what happened.
I'm seeing my agent in 20 minutes, and I'm feeling okay, ladies and gentlemen. I'm feeling a little optimistic.
Well, if it makes you feel so good, why didn't you see him a long time ago?
Because I needed an idea good enough for him to try and sell, and I think I finally have it. I wonder if I should just give it to him or I should tell it to him.
Oh, no, tell him. Tell him. You can't get your enthusiasm off a piece of paper.
Right. Well, I gotta go.
Oh, and listen, come right back and tell me what happened, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I promised to meet Lynn right afterwards.
Oh. Oh. Well, will you call?
Sure. Wish me luck.
Oh, with your enthusiasm, you don't need luck.
Right. Wish me luck anyway.
Luck.
Thanks.
All the luck there is.
Thanks.
Harry leaves. At the agent's.
I've come up with something I've been working on for a daytime panel show that I think is ready to take to somebody.
Sounds good. Who represents you?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, who represents you? Who's your agent?
You are.
I don't follow.
You've been my agent for 4 years, and you haven't known it?
If I were your agent, I'd know it, so let's just keep calm, all right? My name is Joel Forrest.
I know your name. You don't know my name. That's the problem.
You're Harry Evers, and until 5 weeks ago, you produced Let's Chance It. Okay?
No, not okay. Because you're my agent, and you don't know it.
This is a large agency. People shift around a lot. It's perfectly understandable how you could forget who...
You're my agent. I may not be able to get another job, but I can get you to admit that you're my agent.
Fist clenched, Harry kneels on Forrester's desk.
Marianne, will you get me the client list, please? Thank you, dear.
Forrester pats Harry's shoulder.
This will just tell us which one of us is mistaken.
Relaxing, Harry climbs down from the desk as Marianne enters with a binder.
Oh, thank you, dear. Here we are.
Forrester scans the list, then shifts uneasily.
You know how these things happen.
No, Joel. Jolie. I don't.
Well, you see, you were transferred to me 4 years ago when Bert left the agency. It's a different setup. When you're working on...
Harry clamps a hand on Forrester's mouth.
Let's get a good, firm grip on what we've discovered, the two of us here today.
Fine.
You've been my agent for 4 years. This agency has collected 10% of my salary for 4 years. Is that right?
Yeah, all right.
That means that for 4 years, I have paid 10 cents on every dollar I made to an agency where my agent didn't know that he was my agent. Is that true? Would you say that was true?
Yeah, I guess I could say that.
So?
Gripping the man's head, Harry shakes it.
What I want to know is... what are you going to do about it?
Later, Mrs. Bender is on the phone, an agonized expression on her face. She hangs up, then reaches for a box of tissues. Meanwhile, Lynn and Harry are shopping.
That's what happened. That actually happened.
So, that's it. I'm finished. I don't know what else is left.
Unconcerned, Lynn pushes a grocery cart along an aisle.
I said, so that's it. I'm finished. I don't know what else is left.
You're not finished.
With that kind of encouragement, it's hard not to be optimistic.
What do you want?
Do you know what it's like for me?
Do you know what it's like for me?
No.
I know you don't.
Well, what's it like?
Awful!
She wheels the cart away.
Well, I knew that much.
Later.
Oh, the new resumes.
Mrs. Bender scans a page.
I tell you that you can pick out any college in the United States to graduate from, and you pick CCNY.
I don't think I'm cut out for the Ivy League.
What about Berkeley?
No, I wouldn't fit in there.
The Big Ten.
Oh, there's a bunch of jocks.
The University of Chicago.
That's where I always wanted to go.
Okay, that's where you went. Now think about where you always wanted to get your master's from. Oh, and Harry, knock a couple of years off your age, huh?
I already did.
Yeah, I know. Are you, still staying away from the house a lot?
Just Thursday nights and during the days.
Harry, if you just wouldn't be so on guard with her. Tell her how you feel. Will you try?
Maybe.
Now, come on, Harry, please.
Okay. I mean, maybe. I will. I'll try. I'll try to be more honest with her.
Don't put it off. Try tonight.
Oh, I can't tonight.
Why not?
She thinks I'm playing poker.
Late that night, at home, Harry enters the bedroom and drops some change on the bureau.
Oh,
As he undoes his tie, he gazes tenderly at Lynn's sleeping form.
I love you, honey.
She turns toward him.
You stinker. Saying something to me like that when I'm asleep.
When she rolls over, he smiles at her affectionately. In the morning, Lynn opens blinds in the bedroom. Then walks toward Harry, who's in bed.
Honey?
Hmm?
How you doing?
Okay.
Why don't you get up? You don't want to stay in bed all day long. That's no good. It's just gloomy and depressing.
Hmm.
Groggy, he sits up.
What time is it?
6:30.
He rolls over.
Well, that's the time you used to get up, and I thought it would be good for you to keep the same pattern as when you were working.
It's only been 6 weeks. It isn't Appalachia yet.
Yeah, but you said you had an appointment today.
You don't have to be delicate. Going to unemployment isn't an appointment. It's a line. I can apply any day. I'll do it tomorrow.
She pulls the sheets off him.
I'll do it tomorrow.
He yanks the sheets back.
It's not charity. It's insurance. You pay for it. You might as well, Harry. It's like throwing away $75 every week.
He pulls the covers over his head.
Forget it. Do what you want.
She pulls the covers off the bed. He grabs her arm.
Do you love me?
Yes.
She pulls at the bottom sheet.
Thanks.
You ask me every 5 minutes.
I don't ask you every 5 minutes. And if you volunteered the information once in a while, I wouldn't have to ask every 15 minutes. You're not kidding anybody, you know. You act as if you feel the same way about me as when I was working. But how come we haven't since I was fired?
Because you haven't wanted to.
And why haven't I wanted to?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Which shows you how screwed up everything is.
Troubled, she watches him stride to the bathroom.
Harry,
David's
church group is having a softball game this afternoon. Why don't you go with them?
David's what?
His church group.
Since when does he belong to a church group?
They have the best gym in town, so he joined.
Oh. What religion is he?
Presbyterian.
That's good.
Later, at the game.
Boy, oh boy, it's funny how rusty you get. I don't think I ever struck out 3 times in a row in my life.
You didn't strike out.
I didn't.
No.
Well, what do I do?
You just want to talk about it, right?
Why should I want to talk about the fact that I was up 3 times and hit 2 home runs and a double?
David grimaces at his father.
I mean, there have to be a million more interesting subjects than being up 3 times and hitting 2 home runs and a double.
You gonna play in the next game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't be sure I'll always have my afternoons free.
Are you worried about finding another job?
What, are you crazy? Why would I quit my job if I was worried about finding another one?
Harry throws an arm around David's shoulders.
What a day, what a day.
The two walk off. On the way out of the park, David runs toward a taxi, but Harry grabs his arm and steers him to a waiting bus. They get aboard and pay their fares. Later, in a restaurant, a waitress brings Harry a huge sundae.
You want some?
No.
Good.
As Harry digs in, David sits listlessly. Harry glances at his son.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Harry keeps eating. But David stares ahead morosely. Seeing this, Harry drops his spoon, irritated.
Well, it's just I wish you'd feel like telling me the truth.
What am I supposed to be lying about?
About feeling so great about being out of work. Why do you have to act like you feel so great?
Harry can't believe his ears.
What's doing this to you? Going to that camp or becoming a Protestant?
Doing what to me?
Okay. I got fired. I didn't quit. And even though I'm sure everything will be fine,
I'm still a little worried. Is that what you're after?
David relaxes.
Yeah.
Then smiles. Later, Harry watches TV in the kitchen.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 3 weeks and 3 days.
Well, how do you like it so far?
Well, Lynn enters the room.
3 days, you must know each other pretty well. And if you do, we have some exciting prizes for you.
Harry, will you turn it off?
Exasperated, Harry reaches for the set.
What? What is it?
Lynn puts down her coffee cup.
I didn't sleep last night.
I know it.
I thought you were awake.
I thought you were awake.
Well, then why didn't we say something? Isn't that so awful? There we are both lying in the same bed and we're so alone.
Oh, he rolls his eyes.
You make it sound so depressing.
You have this way of making me feel terrible about saying what we both know.
Well, just because we both know it doesn't mean that we have to talk about it, does it?
Yes, it does. I want to know what's wrong.
Please, don't you think this is the worst possible time to start straightening out the marriage?
She nods unhappily.
Sure.
She steps across the kitchen.
You want some coffee?
Yes, I would.
What about you? Annoys your husband the most?
That I talk on the phone too long.
And what annoys you most about him?
Beats me up. That's what I should do. Produce the first television program where everybody had to give real answers.
Oh, I know. He doesn't
Hearing
like to go
Lynn
to the
sobbing,
show.
Harry turns toward her, irritated. He reaches for the TV, then gives her a sarcastic look. She hurls a coffee cup. Harry stares at the shattered TV screen.
That was an accident. I was aiming at you.
Later, Mrs. Bender massages Harry's shoulders.
And it shattered. You know, it really just shattered. Glass all over the place.
How's that? How's that feel, huh?
It's painful.
Painful?
I have a bad back.
Well, why don't you say so?
I kept hoping it would feel good.
Oh, Harry.
She's never done anything like that before. What's wrong, Mrs. Bender?
I don't know. All I know about is finding people jobs.
Oh, did you find anything?
No. I'm having some new resumes made up. And this time, I write up myself.
In a park.
You know what I'm considering?
Having an affair.
Harry glances at a buxom statue.
You know what you have the habit of doing, Marvin? You have the habit of assuming what you want, everybody wants.
Yeah, but everybody wants the same thing. I mean, like, I wish I didn't have to go home tonight. I wish I could just get on a boat and go somewhere. You know, I even started carrying around my passport.
He digs in a pocket and hands it to Harry.
What's your wife's picture doing here?
That's a Mr. and Mrs. that you can use by yourself. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take off and go to Europe on the spur of the moment, and I'll buy whatever I need when I get over there.
You're never going to do a thing like that.
They walk.
I am so going to do a thing like that. As soon as I can think of a reason my wife will accept for leaving her.
Without her being upset or at all angry.
Well, of course.
Harry eyes him skeptically.
Well, that's not impossible. I bet you didn't believe that I'd buy a famous painting and donate it to your museum.
Harry glances at a building.
Is that why you had me meet you here?
Marvin walks toward the building. Harry follows him. Inside, an abstract painting is mounted above a plaque reading, "From the collection of Mr. and Mrs. Marvin Ellison." The small canvas hangs between two much larger paintings.
Is this the entire collection?
Harry points at Marvin's.
Sure. That thing costs $4,000. How many do you think I'd buy?
You know, seeing a painting with my name on it in the Museum of Modern Art,
leaves me absolutely cold.
A woman approaches and pokes Marvin with her umbrella.
Lou.
Oh, hi. Hi, Lois.
I came down to see our painting. How are you, Harry?
Hi.
Were you surprised that my husband donated a painting?
Yes, I was. I certainly was.
Aren't you and my husband going to be late for your poker game?
Oh, yeah, we ought to get going.
Can you be late for your poker game? We could all have dinner together.
Well, it wouldn't be fair. I don't think it would be fair
to the other guys.
Harry, I was sorry to hear your news.
Which news is that?
About your being fired.
Harry stares at Marvin.
We ought to get going. Don't wait up, Bill.
Oh, I'll wait up. What else do I have to do? I wait up even when you're there.
Harry looks at her, incredulous.
Lois, I don't understand what that means.
You're not a woman.
Harry glances nervously at Marvin.
We better get going.
Harry.
He looks at her.
Marvin and I are exactly the same age.
Raising his eyebrows, Harry smiles politely. In a bar.
I know. And she's getting worse all the time. That's why I'm afraid she'd really do something if I left without the perfect excuse.
There is no perfect excuse for leaving your wife.
Meanwhile...
Please don't do this. Will you please come? Aren't you even going to write him a note?
You saw me try. I don't know what to put in it. It all comes out like daytime television.
She closes a case.
Well, then talk to him.
All right, if you'll come with me now, then next week I'll have dinner with Daddy and we'll talk everything out. And then after that, the three of us will talk everything out, okay? But right now, I've got to get away.
She grabs her handbag, then sees that David is sullenly avoiding her gaze.
All right, enough.
She sits down at a desk.
Will you take your bag down, please?
Picking up some luggage, David walks to the door. Having finished the note, Lynn looks for a good spot to leave it and puts it on top of the bureau in the bar.
Marvin, I'm thinking of having an affair.
And you're feeling guilty.
You stop thinking that everyone is like you. I'm not guilty. The fact remains that I have this sense of morality.
Against having affairs? I read in a magazine this week that... There's a movement in religion where they say affairs are okay.
No, I read that. You went over it too fast. It just said that people are talking about their affairs with this minister, not that it's okay. Anyway, I have nothing against affairs. It's just that I can't tell someone I don't love that I love them.
Then don't.
Later. An attractive woman who worked with Harry caresses his face.
Yes, darling. It's true. I love you.
Unnerved, Harry ponders her words.
Bet you were really surprised when they called.
Not a bit. Because I knew it was there between us. I knew that one night I'd be saying, I love you, Harry. What
would
you be saying?
I'm terribly uncomfortable. Oh.
She puts a cushion behind his back.
You're sick. Are you shy? Is that it? It's shyness, isn't it? Harry?
She opens a decanter.
Do you want to know something? I've never told another human being.
God, no.
Harry, listen.
No, Anne, please. Sometimes... people rush intimacy along a little too fast. That they tell each other.
Oh, no, I want to tell you. I must tell you. I'm going to.
She pours him some wine.
Harry, I am shy.
When he looks at her, stunned, she reclines seductively on the floor.
Surprised?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
She sits up.
Well, Harry, it's true. It's true. I am shy. Helps to say, I love you. To say it, I love you, is good to say, I love you. I love
You. Oh, it's good to say...
I...
She pats him on the back, moves away, and ponders the situation.
I think I'd like you to get out of here.
At home, in bed, Harry sleeps soundly. Lynn and David enter the bedroom with their bags. Lynn picks up her note from the bureau.
I don't think he saw it.
No, guess he didn't. Then everything's okay?
Sure it is.
She bends to kiss his cheek. When David leaves the room, Lynn looks at Harry, then at the note.
He slept through our whole separation.
The next day, Mrs. Bender brushes Harry's jacket.
Just what you needed to make your life terrific. An affair.
I need something.
You need a job.
I need to think that life is better than this.
Another woman, is that what you need?
All right, let's not talk about it. All right?
Oh, Harry, everything's going to be so different for the two of you when you start working again.
You know something funny? I don't think they will be. I'll tell you something else. I don't think I'll ever be working again either.
That's how much you know. I'm just so close to something.
What?
Vice president in charge of sales at a pharmaceutical house.
I don't have the background for anything like that.
On your resume, you do. I had them convinced they were lucky to get you. And then the worms checked.
You probably had me up to PhD, didn't you?
I probably could have gotten by with that one if I hadn't made you 26.
Well, Mrs. Bender, it's really cheered me up dropping in like this. Let me know if you ever find me a job. Right now, I have to go and meet my friend Marvin and be brought up to date on how much money he has. So, if you'll excuse me.
Harry?
She approaches him. Then kisses his cheek.
Bye.
Later, in a bar.
Yeah? Harry! Marvin on the phone.
Harry hurries over and takes the receiver from the waiter.
Where are you?
I'm with Lois. Harry, you have to wait for me.
Well, how long are you going to be?
Somewhere between 15 minutes and 5 hours.
Harry is exasperated.
Harry, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to get out of my marriage.
When Marvin looks at his wife across the room, she smiles at him radiantly.
I finally found the perfect excuse. It's an incredible lie. I just hope I don't have to use it.
And you want me to wait for 5 hours?
Harry, I need to know I'll be able to talk to you when this is over. I'm really doing it, Harry. I mean, I can't be alone after a thing like that. I mean, it's bad enough Lois has to be alone.
Marvin, you're not going to do it.
I really am. I have a passport and a checkbook, and very soon now I'm going to be able to go wherever I want.
Then what do you want to come to this bar for?
Harry.
All right. I'll wait right here.
Thanks.
Marvin hangs up, steals himself, and strides across the busy restaurant toward Lois. He sits down.
It's a little warm, isn't it?
A little.
Marvin dips his napkin in his water glass, then dabs at his upper lip.
Good.
Dunking the whole napkin in the glass, he swabs the back of his neck.
It's a good idea. That'll make you feel better.
Really feels good.
As Lois watches in astonishment, Marvin pours his water glass over his napkin and mops his face with it.
I was really feeling warm there.
Better now?
Yes.
Good. Okay. When are you going to tell me how come?
How come?
Well, this is the first time you've ever... taking me out for dinner before your poker game. How come? What, are you feeling guilty that you run off every Thursday night, leave me all alone?
All right, Lois, I'll tell you why I brought you here rather than speaking to you at the house.
I thought that you'd be less likely to scream in a public place.
The only thing that I can think of that you could possibly tell me to make me want to scream is, Lois, please scream.
It's not what I had in mind.
Well, don't drag it out. You know how I hate things dragged out.
I just...
Don't drag out.
Lois, I'm going to leave you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God!
Everyone in the restaurant stares at Lois. A waiter steps toward her, but when Marvin waves him off, he retreats.
Oh! Oh, this is... Oh, my God! Oh! Oh! God! Oh.
The thing is, I should have been smart enough to do this at home. Forget about it for right now. We'll wait till we get home.
Wait! You want me to wait? I can't wait!
All right.
I can't wait!
All right. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I really think it's the best thing for both of us.
Well, it's not the best thing for me. For me, it's the worst possible thing. Honey, the worst.
Honey, you're always telling me what a rotten husband I am.
You're not. You're a wonderful husband.
But you're always complaining, huh?
I lied. You're a fine husband.
And you're a good wife, I guess.
Thank you.
But that doesn't solve anything.
Do you want to take a trip? By yourself?
But we'd still see each other. I mean, this isn't that bad. I mean, divorce isn't anything.
I really don't want to hear that word divorce. I really don't.
I'm afraid you're going to have to, because that's what I want.
Lois considers his words.
You're going to leave me alone. Even though you know my true age, you're going to do that to me. For what? For divorce? Can you be that selfish, that incredibly self-centered? Is that what you want me to believe? I can't believe that. I can't believe it. That any human being could be that selfish.
She tosses her purse aside.
That was fantastic. You almost had me going there.
She glares at him.
Lois, I have to do this.
I'm going to take all the money. You get Louis Neiser. And Mr. Neiser and I will get all the money.
There's plenty of money. Plenty for both of us.
Lois ponders her next move.
Marvin. If you leave me, I'll kill myself.
Marvin looks at her, unimpressed.
Yes, look at me. Look me right in the eye. So you know I mean it. I am not bragging.
Bragging?
You know what I mean. What I mean is, when you're out at night, you'll never know whether that's the night that I decided to blow my head off.
Marvin is taken aback, and Lois smiles triumphantly.
Lois, I'm going to tell you the real reason why I have to leave. Now, if you feel the same way after I've told you.
Unprepared for this, she looks at him warily.
Then I'll stay.
Later, outside a bar, Harry dozes on some steps as a taxi pulls to a stop. Marvin gets out. He steps toward Harry.
Harry?
Harry looks up, startled.
I knew you'd wait for me. Fall asleep?
You did it, huh? Did you have to use that excuse of yours?
I had to. Made it much easier for both of us.
Harry gives Marvin a sly grin.
Well, what was it?
You know what'd be wonderful? It'd be wonderful if human beings didn't feel they had to know everything. Like that you could just feel good for me, that I got through it without having this awful curiosity.
You spent months boring hell out of me with your hunt for the perfect excuse. And you told me you found it. And I've waited over 5 hours so that you'd have company after you used it. So I think you'd better tell me what it is.
It was no big deal. I told Lois I had turned into a fruit.
Harry stares at him blankly.
How can we get going?
You mean you actually kept a straight face and told her?
I had to. I mean, you have no idea how bad it was getting. You know, when I told her I turned into a sissy, there was this calm, this wonderful, calm, gentle understanding. A few gentle tears. We were really closer than we've ever been. It was beautiful. I was almost wishing it were true.
She just accepted it?
She asked some questions, mostly technical. And she accepted.
Marvin, are you 100% absolutely sure it isn't true?
Marvin is annoyed.
That's really insulting, Ella.
Well, I never knew a man to lie about a thing like that. Not that. I mean, to say he was when he wasn't. That's a real first.
Later, a taxi drives down a deserted street in an industrial area. Stops, and Marvin gets out as Harry sleeps in the back seat. Marvin pays the driver.
Thank you. Harry! Wake up, Harry!
Harry awakens as Marvin walks off. Harry pays the driver.
Keep the change.
Then gets out.
I already paid.
They watch as the taxi speeds off, its back door flapping. Marvin looks in a different direction.
Oh, beautiful, huh? Forget about the money. Look!
Turning, Harry sees a huge ship, the Olympia.
It's the first time I ever saw a boat this size.
And you thought I'd never do it.
Smiling smugly, Marvin strides off toward the quay. Half asleep, Harry follows. The two walk up a gangway to board the Olympia. Soon, on deck, a waiter opens champagne.
How long are you going to stay over there?
That's the fantastic thing. I don't know. You know, I almost feel like I should do something symbolic, like just throw my watch overboard, you know? But I just got it, you know? Oh, thank you.
Maybe you have something else in mind.
Maybe I do.
Marvin digs in a jacket pocket.
Of course. What could be better than throwing away all the keys to those locked doors? The car? The office? Of course.
He takes a key off the ring.
My house.
Marvin throws the key.
one key.
Well, I'm new at this.
Marvin strolls a few paces away. Harry joins him.
I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, you told me that already.
Oh, did I tell you I'd like to punch you in the mouth for having all the breaks?
Yeah. You know, I'm a little worried about you, the job thing and all.
I got an offer to produce these industrial shows for conventions. That's pretty good, huh?
Gee, industrial shows? Yeah, I think it's a garbage job, Harry.
Will you please lie?
But you'd be better off working for me. I mean, all the zipper money coming in, we could have some fun. We could invest in things. I mean, why not?
Because of the obvious. Because of this incredibly obvious thing that you're only offering a job to me because we're friends.
But why is that a bad reason?
I don't know. It's just a rule. You just don't work for friends. Everybody knows that, Marvin.
Look, Harry, I'm offering you a job. I think you want to take it, but I'm not going to argue with you forever. Now, what is it? Yes or no?
Do you really need me at your place?
No.
Why don't you ever lie to me?
Because I don't need you. I mean, I want you to work for me. I can sure use you. But I don't need you. I mean, why can't you see...
I'll take the job. Now, shut up. This isn't going to work. I'm working for you.
Well, why not?
Because I'm embarrassed to ask you what my salary is. Now, do you... I forgot to tell Lynn I'd be late.
He races off. Meanwhile, at home...
The police said if he were dead, they'd know.
Yeah, but what about if he's just hurt? What then?
Well, somebody'd find him.
Oh, sure, this is New York. People are always having heart attacks and then getting stepped over because other people think they're drunks.
Yes, that's right.
Lynn's mother walks to the phone. Harry's calling from a diner.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Reynolds. What are you doing there? Oh.
No, you're at
the... Lynn takes the line.
Harry?
I'm going to be a little late, honey.
A little late? Harry, it's Friday.
Oh. Well, after the game, Marvin decided to get a divorce and go to Europe. So, I figured...
No. No, sweetheart. I called all those people. I know that there is no more game and that there hasn't been for months.
Honey, I got a job. Marvin finally talked me in.
Harry, what have you been doing on Thursdays for the last 3 months?
Oh, the old game broke up. That was the old game, but there's a new game.
Mm-hmm. Who's in it?
Oh, me, Marvin, Blum.
You know what I thought of when I first found out? I thought of that time after David's camp when I asked you to stay home so we could love each other. And you said you had to play poker.
This is really... Why do I have to be afraid of taking one night a week for myself?
You can take them all for yourself, Harry. 7 nights a week.
It was so incredibly predictable that you would say exactly that.
Yeah, well, everything about us is becoming predictable. Our unhappiness is predictable.
Honey, take it easy. I'll be home in a little while.
No, I don't want to be pacified anymore, Harry. I don't want to talk it over. I don't want to argue about it. I don't want to put it or us through the ringer anymore. I don't want to be nice about it. I don't want to be ugly about it. I just want to let go.
She hangs up on him. In the diner, Harry slowly replaces the receiver. In tears, Lynn falls onto her bed as her mother looks on.
Something's wrong.
Dejected, Harry strolls along the street with Marvin.
Where are you going?
I'm not sure. Why?
Well, you could come along with me. You'd go home and get your passport. Get back in time to sail for Europe.
Harry considers the idea and smiles.
And we could spend a month or so having wonderfully shallow relationships with 20-year-old girls.
They grin at each other.
I was thinking the same thing. I can't get over it.
What?
That we could really do that. I mean, that I have a choice.
So?
So in a couple hours we could be on board checking out the women. I mean, we could really be doing that. Actually be on our way.
Right.
But you're going. I mean, you really are going. And I could go with you.
Harry weighs his options. He smiles.
I'm going home. I don't feel I have to, so I must want to.
Gravely, Marvin looks Harry in the eye.
Hey, have a hell of a time.
You too.
Isn't it incredible that this is being happily married? See ya.
They shake hands.
Harry.
Oh, I know.
They hug.
Take care of yourself.
Harry and Marvin go their separate ways. Later, Harry walks briskly down a street, then stops suddenly. Ahead, Lynn, her mother, and David are packing suitcases into cars. Seeing Harry, Lynn shoots him a withering glance. As David eyes him solemnly, David approaches his father.
David, everything's okay. No kidding.
Mom says I'll see you all the time.
Of course you will, because you're not going anywhere. Nobody's leaving. Nobody ever has, and nobody ever will.
But we did leave once. It's just you were asleep and didn't know.
David, come on.
David steps away from Harry.
I'll see you all the time.
What do you mean I was asleep and didn't know?
Harry, marriage is give and take.
Thank you.
With a prim nod, his mother-in-law walks to her car. Just as Lynn finishes loading, Lynn turns to Harry.
Well, your mother just cleared up the whole thing. She said marriage is give and take.
Lynn looks at him reproachfully, then watches her mother drive off with David. She turns and walks toward her car.
How do I make this all stop?
I don't think you can.
Yes, I can. Somewhere there's a perfect thing I can say that'll make you change your mind. I love you. Please don't go. I need you. You need me. What about David? I'll change. You'll change. We'll both change. I don't want you to change. I want you just the way you are. Everything's gonna be all right. I'll go crazy.
Tearfully, she motions him to stop.
Right. Well, we don't have to settle anything right now because I'm pretty sure you'll be back.
Lynn shakes her head sadly, gives him a quick kiss, then gets into the car. crouches beside her window.
This isn't going to work. I'm not being together.
We've got to try.
She pulls out of her parking spot and drives off. As Harry watches unhappily, the car recedes. When the car stops, he looks at it hopefully. As the car reverses toward him, Harry breaks into a huge grin, then runs toward it.
Well, we tried.
Their lips almost touch, but Harry turns suddenly and frantically waves off a car that's about to pull into Lynn's spot.
Hey, lady.
Lynn laughs at Harry. Then, as he directs her, she backs in.
This is what I call happy. I mean, this is what I call high. Yesterday, I was down. Today, I'm aimed at the sky.
This described version of Thursday's Game was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Marco Sorin. Cast: Gene Wilder as Harry Evers, Bob Newhart as Marvin Ellison, Ellen Burstyn as Lynn Evers, Cloris Leachman as Lois Ellison, Martha Scott as Mother, Nancy Walker as Mrs. Bender, Rob Reiner as Joel Forrester, Valerie Harper as Ann Mincente, Norman Fell as Melvin Leonard, Gerald Michonneau as David Evers, Richard Schau as Bob, Jed Allen as Dick, Robert Sampson as Dave, John Archer as Mr. Wood, Barbara Barnett as the secretary, Bill Callaway as the cabbie, Sidney Clute as the camp director, Jonathan Kidd as the waiter, Chris Sarandon as Tom, Charles Schull as the announcer, Carol Worthington as the contestant, and Rick Mancini as the bartender. Director of Photography, Joe Birock. Art Director, Trevor Williams. Associate Producer, Lou Gallo. Unit Production Manager, Herbert Wills. Assistant Director, Christopher H. Seitz. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.